Masters. Tonight on Collectors, I'm catching up with a bloke who has the second biggest collection of Barbie dolls in the world. Yes, you heard right, Barbie dolls. Intrigued? Well, so am I. And I'm really excited that Zhan Yang is joining me from Singapore. Welcome to Nightlife, Zhan.
Hey, thank you. Great to be here.
Well, of course, the first question has to be, why Barbie dolls? Tell me when you first got the bug.
Well, I don't know, Matt. When I was a kid in the 80s, I mean, like 1984, you know, when we were all playing with Transformers and Star Wars and that kind of thing, I needed a female figure, if that made sense. And like, you know, with my He-Man and Transformers, there would always be a female that's missing. So my sister got a Barbie under the Christmas tree. She was one, so like I just took it as my own. And Barbie just kind of played in the boys' realm. So she was just another action figure to me.
Had lots of other action figures at the time. What sort of action figures were you also playing with?
I had everything. I was one of those spoiled children. So like He-Man, Transformers, Star Wars, Centurion, Sky Commanders, the works, like all the boys' things. And I love play sets. So like, I would always have like big bases and vehicles.
Okay, so you love toys.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And until today, I mean, the thing that no one talks about is I've got like 500 Transformers.
Right, okay. And how many Barbies do you have? Because I mentioned you have the second biggest collection of Barbies in the world. So how many is that?
I've stopped counting, but I think at last count it was about 12,000.
12,000?
Yes.
That is phenomenal. 12,000. And yes. are they different Barbies?
Yeah, most of them are different, but I've recently also started doing things like repainting and restyling the hair. So sometimes I buy like doubles and then do up the hair, and then it becomes a different doll.
Right. Okay. Well, now I have to ask you. So when you collect a Barbie, clearly you don't just leave her in the box and put her in the shelf. So you play with her and you restyle her. Tell me what sort of things you do to your Barbies.
Mainly, I think nowadays it's become an Instagram thing, you know, where like the photos live on Instagram. And the one strange thing that I've started doing is dressing them in toilet paper.
Why?
It sounds strange. It sounds strange, but like I've got a hashtag that's flushable fashion, and it's become a book. So I have a book called Flushable Fashion. And these designs, these toilet paper dolls, have been in Vogue magazine. So I'm like, what? It's toilet paper, but you know.
All right. So tell me what your Instagram is if people want to see what these flushable toilet paper Barbies look like.
Well, I think it's easier to use the hashtag flushable fashion. My Instagram's like JenYoung1979, but that's like just my personal account.
Okay, so like hashtag flushable fashion. And yeah. So your interest in Barbies then led to this flushable fashion. How did that happen?
I used to travel a lot for business, and I'd be in strange hotels in strange countries for the longest time. One time I was in Sri Lanka, where at 7 o'clock you finish work, you go back to the hotel, and there's nothing to do. No bars, no clubs, no malls. So after my second cheeseburger for dinner, I was just like playing with the toilet paper. And I rolled up a little rosette kind of thing, and I was like, hey, you know what, this is going to look cool on a doll. And I always travel with a doll. Can't explain it, but like there's usually a travel doll with me. And I stuck it on to her shoulder, and then I draped the little toilet paper dress on her, and I Instagrammed her, and people were like, hey, this is cool. And I'm like, you know what, for the next 14 days while I'm stuck in Sri Lanka, I am going to make a toilet paper dress every night for your entertainment. And yeah, you know, it kind of took off.
That's where you started your Barbie haute couture toilet paper outfits. You did mention you have to travel with a Barbie doll. Why is that, Zhan?
Um, I, I think because of Instagram, right? I like to document my trips. And you know, everyone has regular holiday pictures where you stand in front of the Eiffel Tower, but you know, sometimes when you've got a doll in a little beret and a striped shirt and a neck scarf, and then she's in front of the Eiffel Tower, it makes for a different kind of memory. So I mean, I'd actually like to take this opportunity to say that I'm not really a collector. I'm just someone that never stopped playing with toys. So I've never really seen it as this doll is precious. She has to stay in the box. Her hair has to be like gel in perfect factory condition, because ultimately they are toys. So toys come out to play, and that's what they do.
All right, okay. So you don't really see yourself as technically a collector because your dolls, well, so none of them stay in pristine condition, Jean. You don't keep any of them in boxes, all of them.
Some of them do, but it's more because I'm in advertising, and I actually see box art, copywriting on the boxes, as kind of a moment in history. So some dolls actually look a lot better in the box than they do out of the box. Because like, you know those big 90s curls that Barbie used to have, the big holiday dolls with the big curls? When you take her out of the box, her hair becomes limp. So sometimes they just look better in the box. We all know this, humidity hair.
Humidity hair. Okay.
Yeah,
So
Singapore, man.
these 12,000 Barbies, where do you store them all, Jean?
Well, my adult house. In Singapore, right, a lot of us live with our parents for a very long time. I was an ambitious 30-year-old, and I bought myself a house. And I've actually designed the whole house around the dolls. So it's not like a collection moved into a house. It's like a house was purpose built for these dolls. So my showcases are like exactly like 29 cm. Well, they allow for 29 cm dolls to fit in. Yeah, so the house is actually designed around the dolls.
Right, so if I was to arrive at your house and walk through the front door, what would I see?
Ooh, you're testing me because now I have to explain this on radio without any visuals. Well, I think I like to hope that it's a very tasteful house. So when you go into the main door, there's nothing, you don't suspect anything. It's white walls. And then there's one tiny window that has my favorite dolls on display, like a shop window, which I changed the display of. And then you turn the corner, and there's this like massive wall of holy hell, where people stand in the middle of the living room, and they're like 30 minutes of shock. And then they calm down, and then you'll see a pretty massive collection. It's I've got boxes on one side, the doll boxes stacked on one side in an engineering marvel, and on the other side I've got the dolls that I actually play with. So they're all unboxed dolls in shelves, which I can take out and play with. So like, I've got Dr. Ken right in front of me, and later on I'm going to a vet. So I'm going to bring Dr. Ken with me to a vet.
Is there much room in this house for anything else?
Does it matter? I think unfortunately, with anybody that has a large amount of something, I mean, in my case, it's dolls, and which means I'm not really someone that buys a lot of clothes or a lot of shoes or a lot of bags or that kind of thing. I've got a functional kitchen. I've got a very functional bedroom. But everything else is dolls.
It's about the dolls. And
It is.
what do you feel when you stand there surrounded by those dolls? Describe the feeling.
The funny thing is that I think a lot of people, when they collect toys, talk about nostalgia. I'm more of a forward-looking kind of guy, so I actually see ambition and I see fulfillment of ambition. I think we all have young stories. I don't know if they're poverty stories, but you know when you've got like $10 in your pocket when you're in primary one, and you can buy one doll, and you couldn't buy the Ken or the African American girl, or you can't buy all the surrounding things to the main doll that you had. Now, without sounding big-headed or anything, but I can. So it's like now I see complete series. Now I see 90s dolls, 80s dolls, which I wanted but never got. And I see it as an achievement that I worked hard in my career so that I could get stuff that pays off. And I don't need a Ferrari. I mean, in Singapore, Ferraris are like millions of dollars. And I'm like, yeah, okay, none of that. But I've got a Barbie Ferrari.
You've got a Barbie Ferrari. What's your, do you have a favorite Barbie, Jean?
No, I don't. You know, sometimes when you collect these things, you've got dolls that are your favorite for like a week, and then an Amazon box comes and that becomes your favorite. So those things change. My first doll is obviously someone that's going to be special to me, but I don't know if she's my favorite.
Tell me about your first doll.
Well, this was 1984, where everyone was in the workout phase. So she's wearing turquoise leotards and striped leg warmers with a headband. Her name is Great Shape Barbie, and she's got like ballet shoes. It was the strangest thing. And I was like 1984, so I was like 4 years old, 5 years old. Mm. And I had never been to a gym. So to me, that's what you wore out in public.
And of course, you know, Barbie over the decades has become controversial because of the unrealistic body image that style of doll mm-hmm. portrayed. But over the years, there's been lots of different Barbies that you can now buy. Tell me about some of those Barbies that you have.
So diversity is a really big conversation, I think, in the world recently. So, you know, nowadays they have four official body types when they launched this. So they had curvy, they had petite. Oh, you're testing me. Curvy, petite, tall. And what I find very offensive, but they call it regular. So regular Barbie with her perfect body is still called regular Barbie.
Ah, right.
But yeah, so now they've got the curvy one. But then later on, they actually evolved that. So they've got one with a flatter chest and a wider hip. So a lot of that has changed as well. Now they've got prosthetic legs. They've got wheelchair Barbies, and they've got freckles. There's one that's bald right now. So I think she's a nod to cancer, but you know, I think it's very tastefully done. It's not like they said that she's a doll with a disease. They actually made it into a look. She's a regular person. She's going to play with the rest of your dolls. She has no hair. So there's this very tasteful way that Mattel has kind of inserted what we would call irregular people into a regular play space.
Okay, so there's a diversity of different sorts of Barbies out there. What about Barbies from different cultural backgrounds or wearing different cultural outfits?
Well, the Dolls of the World series has been around since 1977, believe it or not. So every year they release like four or five dolls from different cultures. And to me, right, I think the more interesting thing was watching the evolution of that. And I'm going to say this, but they had Black Barbie, they had Hispanic Barbie, and then they had Oriental Barbie. And you're like, holy hell, did you say that? But, you know, that's what they used to call them back then. And you could tell it was like white man designing black woman's outfit or white man designing Asian chongsam. But nowadays it's actually evolved, and it's quite interesting because now you can see how actual Asians are designing actual Asian outfits and black people are designing black Barbie outfits. And there's a whole reality that comes with that because now the African American dolls have like different hair textures and wider noses, wider hips. And I think conversations like that help kids that are playing with dolls, to integrate themselves better into the world. You know, we see this as adults, and us on our internet conversations are having very deep theories about the world and diversity. But we always have to remember that Barbie is made for kids, and helping kids open up that social conversation to me is a very important part of what she stands for.
Mm. And speaking about kids, what do your family and friends and the kids in your life think about this obsession of yours, Jean?
I'm actually really lucky. Like I didn't have any bullying happened to me in school. In fact, I was just speaking to someone from primary school who said, like, it was so interesting that my first memory of you was I brought the Transformer to school and you brought a Barbie. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? It wasn't weird at all. I guess because I never was just that guy with the dream house, I was the guy with the Optimus Prime secret base that had a doll in it.
Yeah, right.
And slowly Optimus Prime disappeared, but But you know, Barbie stayed, and the evolution kind of made it into an easier conversation to have. Yeah, so
And
my
you
parents actually, my parents are supportive. They don't buy dolls, but they don't buy anything. So it's not like they buy me dolls, but they are proud of the collection, and they come over to the house and they're like, oh, look, new one.
And what Barbie is there still to have? I mean, I suppose you don't know because they haven't been manufactured yet.
I think what I've been doing is actually buying back a lot of 90s and 2000s, because that was kind of teenagehood and early part of my career, where I would buy one thing from a series because that was my favorite one, but I wouldn't buy the other four from the series, because at the time they were all like $200 each, and I would have $200 in the bank. So and the good thing about this internet fame, I guess, is that people reach out to me all the time. Would you like to buy this collection? Would you like to buy this doll? Most of the time it's trash, but sometimes you find treasure. So I had this woman that reached out to me recently, and she used to collect dolls in the box, and there was a magazine coming to her house to do a photo shoot. So she ripped all of these dolls out of boxes to put them in her new showcases, and then she forgot about them for 15 years. So
Wow.
she wanted to sell them each for like $15, and these are $200, $300 dolls. I just bought 150 dolls over Christmas.
Right. I'm speaking to Zhan Yang about his wonderful collection of Barbie dolls. He has about 12,000, the second biggest collection of dolls in the world. And I have to ask you, if you've got the second biggest, do you know who has the biggest collection, Zhan?
I do. I don't know her personally, but her name is Bettina Dorfman, and she's in Germany. Last I heard, she has like 18,000.
And are you competitive? Are you thinking I'm going to get more dolls than Bettina?
I'm not, but my dad does say, why don't you just marry her? And then together you can have the world's biggest collection. But no, I think first of all, because she's German, and she's slightly older. So she's not really on social media. So she doesn't take part in these like doll community conversations. So I think she's quite private.
Right. And how big is this online community of people who love Barbies?
Surprisingly, it's rather huge. And I must admit that I never knew about them, because I've always been a private collector. So despite what you read about my collection, it's this publicity, I guess, is forced on me. I've never seen this as a collection to show people, and my house has never been designed to be a showcase. It's just like my personal collection. So when I started Instagramming, that's when I realized, oh my God, there's so many people. And now I've got like friends from Chile and Poland and Mexico and the US. It's like a whole bunch of people in the US. I'm quite connected with the Australians because I used to live in Melbourne. And my friends from 20 years ago are actually still collecting, which is great. Yeah, it's a huge community.
Look, I'm sure it is, and I'm sure there are a lot of Barbie collectors listening to our conversation. If you are 1-300-800-222, 1-300-800-222, to join in our conversation, tell us about the Barbies you have, when you started collecting Barbies, why you love them so much. Is there a Barbie still out there that you hanker for? Would love to hear from you. 1-300-800-222, or anything else that you may be collecting. We feature our collectors, particularly our nightlife collectors, on this segment every week. And I'm speaking to Zhan Yang from Singapore, who is a Barbie doll collector with 12,000 Barbie dolls in his collection. Zhan, how much money do you think you've spent on your Barbie dolls?
That's the one thing. Oh wait, let me just do that again. Silly computer. That's the one thing that I've never really thought about. I don't want to think about it, because you know, some collectors start at, let's say, 30 years old, and then they put money aside and say, I'm going to have a collection that's worth 500,000 or whatever it is. But I'm someone that just always bought toys. So when I had like $100, I would spend like $50 on dolls. And you know, when you've got a bit more, you spend a little bit more. The BBC did a rough evaluation and said, like, look, if each doll is $50 and 50 like Aussie dollars, the rate's the same, but like $50, and you multiply that by 12,000, You do the math. I don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of dough.
I could have paid for my house.
You could have. Do you ever sell any of your dolls?
No, never. I think dolls are small value items. So, you know, you buy something for $50 and someone wants to give you $60 for it. Is it really worth the hassle of saying, oh, shipping from Singapore is $30 and blah, 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 blah for $10 profit? So, yeah, I look at it more as if I've got an extra, me taking it out of the box brings me a lot more joy than selling it for a $10 profit.
Mm. And when you come to playing with your dolls, I mean, do you bring a number of dolls out and then organize an event where a number of dolls are all interacting with each other? Or do you just do one-on-one time with your Barbie dolls?
It's tricky because I don't have like tea parties with my dolls and I don't talk to them and they don't have date nights and that kind of stuff. So it's very photo-based. So what I do is, like I said, I'm going to the vet later on for a vaccination, not for myself, and Dr. Ken is going to come along. And that's the extent of the play. He comes out of my pocket, he gets a picture taken, he goes back into my pocket, I drive off and pray to God that no one saw me. And that's kind of the play.
Oh, well, it sounds a lot of fun. I mean, in the end, that's what collecting should be about, isn't it? Just having a good time, enjoying your collection.
Yeah, there was a point where I was all about, like, I'll keep the boxes pristine and all that. And look, rubber bands melt, boxes get dented when you've got someone that's not careful in the house. And you're just like, your heart bleeds so much when you try to keep these things pristine that, you know, I'm going to die at some point. Let's just enjoy these things while I'm still alive.
Well, you brought it up. I wasn't going to. But speaking of dying, what are you going to do with your Barbie dolls?
The simple answer to that is, does it matter? I'll be dead. a lot of people are talking to me about things like that.
Do they have cremation Barbie yet or burial Barbie?
No, but melting plastic's not good for the world. So
that's true.
Yeah, so no, I don't want them cremated with me. But I don't know. I mean, there's part of me that's like, see, I'm kind of crazy about these things. But imagine if I opened a museum and like three people come a week, my self-esteem wouldn't be able to take that. So I don't know.
I think you'd get more than that. You'd get more than that. I mean, I'd come along. That would be four people.
But you'd show up once, you know what I mean? So I've actually had an exhibition in Singapore, and I know what the footfall of that was, but it was like a 3-month exhibition of like 400 dolls. So, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, you charge like whatever, $15 to come in and see the doll. How much money could you possibly make as opposed to having a real job and just earning money and then spending it on dolls instead?
Yeah. So have you carried on with your advertising career?
Well, I guess due to COVID, I'm on a break, my first break in 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying it right now, but very soon I'll be back in the advertising world.
Yeah, making money to keep your Barbie doll collection expanding.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I always like to talk about because it's like a lot of people think that, well, let me rephrase that. I think when you think of a doll collector, there are certain things that come to your mind, a certain kind of person, a certain kind of job that he or she would have. And then when it becomes a male doll collector, there's also a certain kind of perception that you would have.
Hmm.
And I'm one of those people that's like severely white collar, relatively well-spoken, good in social situations. And that there's an empowerment that I like to share with other collectors, that a lot of them have childhood bullying stories. A lot of them have insecurity stories and depression and anxiety and all that. And I'm like, look, we can be doll collectors and be completely normal.
Well, good. That's an important message. Jean, thank you so much for sharing your passion for Barbie dolls with us. I really enjoyed our chat.
No worries, this was great.
Jean Yang, who is from Singapore, he's a Barbie doll collector.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.